so we're having a couple men fill in. And today, we're going to have a couple people speaking besides myself. And right now, we're going to listen to Fred Hummel, and he's going to speak on Jesus at Nazareth.
Good morning, everyone. I welcome you to turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. And this is the passage that we will be looking at this morning. In Luke chapter 14, we learn that Jesus Christ's reputation has been growing throughout the country, and that he was being praised by all. We further learn that he's come to speak at his hometown synagogue before family and friends. These people have known him from boyhood. They knew Joseph and Mary and his brothers and sisters. They've heard about the miracles that he's performed, and they've come to hear him teach. Jesus has come to launch his public ministry in the Galilean region. Everything seems to be going well. However, within the next few minutes, the positive impression of Jesus will be turned to a furious anger, where the same people will attempt to end his life. Well, that day's service started out with Jesus giving the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he read the message from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, about the future ministry of the Messiah. This is the Messiah, the anointed one. Countless generations have looked for. He read to them about the preaching the good news of God's favor to the poor, healing the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to captives, giving sight to blind, and liberty to the oppressed. And then he rolled up the scroll and announced to all that he was fulfilling that prophecy that day. This was a monumental moment. Today, that would be equivalent to having Jesus standing here in this pulpit this morning instead of me, and proclaim here at First Baptist Church of Saugerties, First Baptist Church of Petoskey, and announce to you that he has come here to fulfill the prophecies of his second coming, and that he is now going to take us into heaven to the homes that he's prepared for us. What an exciting moment that would be. So, what went wrong? Well, the people attending the service did not believe that he was really anointed by God for this work. They still saw him as a cousin, a brother or sister, the son of Joseph or Mary, who grew up in their presence. Yes, he may know God's word, have impeccable understanding of truth, and do miracles, but from their viewpoint, he was just a common man. He did not measure up to their perceived conception of the Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah to judge those immoral Romans, Greeks, and Canaanites that were ruling the land. In fact, when Jesus read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, he stopped before reading the phrase, "in the day of vengeance of God," for that was to be another time. Jesus had no intention in overturning the power of Herod, opening political prisoners' doors, punishing sinners, or overthrowing the Roman Empire. He wanted to change people's hearts. 3. His message of salvation was only available for the spiritually poor, prisoners, blind, and oppressed. This was an attack on self-righteousness of those in the synagogue. His message that the only people to be saved were those who confessed their spiritual poverty, their spiritual bondage, their spiritual blindness, and their inability to save themselves. That was hard to swallow for these people, for they saw themselves righteous. They followed the law of Moses and the prophets. They saw themselves as noble, They worshiped the true and living God, and they regularly attended synagogue. They tithed, and they were children of Abraham. They were better than those Gentiles or the world's outcasts in their minds. 4, the straw that finally broke the camel's back was that Jesus gave them two stories to illustrate his point from the Old Testament, dealing with the prophets Elijah and Elisha, to show that God helped and gave salvation to two hated Gentiles who humbled themselves and trusted God over helping Israelites who did not trust God or believe in his prophet. The first illustration was the widow of Zarephath during the 3.5-year drought during King Ahab. See, she was in the country of the birthplace of Baal, the center of Baal, and she was a Canaanite, not an Israelite. Elijah had asked her, by God's instruction, to give the last food. She was a widow and about to die, she and her son. And he asked her for the last amount of food, and she trusted him and trusted God that would provide. And God gave a miracle that she and her son were provided throughout that drought with sufficient food. The second one was Commander Naaman of Aram, who had leprosy. Well, he had a reputation of being organized raiding parties that had attacked the northern countries, parts of Israel, looting people and kidnapping them. So he was an evil man, but he had leprosy. And there was a servant gal there who was one of the kidnapped victims of his raids, who came to him and said, "If you go to Elisha, the man of God, he will heal you of your leprosy." And we know the story how it went through, that Naaman finally came to Elisha and was obedient. He went to that muddy Jordan River and dumped himself 7 times, and he had leprosy removed. This was in contrast to how many other Israelites who had leprosy that were never healed because they didn't trust God. After hearing this illustration from Jesus, they couldn't take it anymore. The synagogue, in full rage, grabbed Jesus, casting him out of the city, and attempted to throw him off a cliff to kill him. They could do this if they thought he was a false prophet, according to Deuteronomy 13. They saw him through the lens of self-righteousness. But another miracle happened, and he passed right through them, because his time to die had not come. While there's no difference between us and the Israelites of Jesus' hometown, we all need the salvation that Jesus offers. Let us not allow the false illusion of self-righteousness to be a stumbling block to obtaining Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's salvation.
Thank you, Fred. You know, funny things happen at church. This morning, I was walking up the steps over there outside, and my wife was at the top holding the door, and I looked at her and I said, "You look like somebody I'd like to date." And she gave me this teacher look, you know, that glare, and she said, "You're married." Cracked me up. All right, so church is a good place, especially for humor. And here's some announcements to go along with that. Pastor's on a sabbatical until the end of November. He will be in his office on most Monday through Wednesdays, writing books and continuing his Bible studies with his different groups. If you have an emergency or are unable to contact him, please contact the deacons. Tom and Ted's numbers are in the bulletin. We're on Facebook, First Baptist Church of Petoskey. Check us out sometime, and you can find out some of our ministries, some of the voices you hear. You'll get pictures of people and things that go on around this place. Please check out our website at fbctag.com. We have sermons and articles and church information on that website. Please join us for fellowship and a snack this morning after the service, just before Sunday school. Tom will be leading the evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. He will be looking at the connection between the Garden of Eden, the Book of Job, and how it relates to each one of us. Wednesday is prayer meeting at the church at 7 o'clock. And there's a ladies' Bible study Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Carrie's on the life of Solomon. With that, we'll ask Dave to come lead us in an offertory prayer.
Loving Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come and give to your ministry. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus is preeminent in all things. And Father, we pray that you bless this offering, each gift and each giver. For we pray these things in Jesus' name.